Some of you, I'm sure, remember director Hal Ashby's 1979 hit movie simply called Being There. Remember? Well, as you recall, Peter Sellers played the role of Chauncey Gardner, a simple-minded man who never left the estate of his guardian until the day his guardian died. Now, thanks to Chauncey's lifelong addiction to television, he tended to keep uttering vapid lines from TV shows in such a way that people thought they were actually quite profound. And before long, people started to believe that Chauncey was really very wealthy and very wise. Now, make of that movie what you will, the line that got engraved in our memories is Chauncey's oft-repeated response to many questions and comments, "I like to watch," he'd say. "I like to watch." Now, a line like that, depending on where and how you say it and with whom, can let you off the hook, can help you avoid the heavy lifting, let you fade into the crowd, let you snooze in the back pew, or it could get you arrested. But now and then, anyway, all of us like to watch. Now, watching is not a half-bad pastime. Most of us are familiar with the practice. We watch the clock. Some of you are doing that right now. We watch the news. We watch over our children and grandchildren. We watch for changes in the weather. Many of us like to watch a parade or sit in the stands and watch a game. We sit in waiting rooms and airport terminals, and we people watch. Shrewd shoppers watch for bargains. And some of us of a certain vintage watch for gray hairs and age spots and warts and wrinkles. Watching for a kettle to boil or toast to pop is probably a silly thing to do, but there are people who do it anyway. Watching grass grow or paint dry can be either a dreadfully boring and fruitless exercise, or it can be an opportunity to luxuriate in the too frequently maligned practice of doing nothing at all. Remember our moderator's 6-minute suggestion to take a few minutes every day and balance. So yes, we like to watch. Now, since the season, 'tis the season to wax a bit nostalgic, I remember when we used to watch for the mail. Do you remember the mail? Well, when I was a kid back in the day, I watched with eager anticipation for the arrival of the Eaton's catalog. Well, some of you remember Eaton's, and some of you remember catalogs. The winter edition had the most awesome toy section in it. Now, there was no way the stockings I hung by the chimney with care were ever going to be filled with the treasures I found in those pages, but year after year, just waiting for it, looking through it, watching, was utter ecstasy. So we have Advent. It's the season of watching. And as much as we might wish the lectionary people would start the season with shepherds watching their flocks by night, or angels from the realms of glory watching for a little crack to open in a stable door to let the light of Mary's child shine through, today's gospel reading starts the season with a grown-up Jesus telling us that all is not well with the world, and that sooner or later, God will intrude and make things right. Now, both Jesus and Luke, who tells the story, may have wished for sooner rather than later. But, says Jesus in our gospel reading for today, watch anyway. There will be signs, he says. Watch for the signs. Now, we know all about signs. election signs, for sale signs, road signs. We know the sweet relief of spotting the sign for the washroom and the annoyance of the sign that tells us to squeeze left for construction ahead. We can usually spot signs of some change in our health, and we do well to look for telltale signs of that our children may be having trouble with math, or that our relationships need mending, or that someone we care about is going through a bad time. We know the signs. We tend to watch for them, usually at least. Sometimes it doesn't matter if we miss them. Sometimes it matters a great deal, and God help us if we're not paying attention because we're too distracted or too bored or too sleepy or just too lazy to be on the lookout. So we have Advent, this season for watching. Although Advent can be unfair sometimes, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Oh, that can make the season agonizing for little ones worried about which column in Santa's naughty and nice list they might end up in. And you know that elf on the shelf thing that was a craze for a while? Oh, it seems like a terribly unfair peeper into the souls of tiny ones during a season when children are way too wired to be perfect angels. But Advent, of course, is not about watching for a few weeks to be sure we avoid crying and pouting and ending up on Santa's bad side. Advent is the church's way of giving our heads and hearts a shake before we get too caught up in getting and spending and laying waste our powers to the point of having no time and no energy left over at all for hope and peace and joy and love. Advent is an invitation to pay attention to the world the way it is and try to imagine the difference Christ's coming can make in it. Advent is all about watching. Mind you, Advent isn't everybody's favorite season. The old United Church hymn book, it was read too, remember, had this 17th century Advent hymn in it, Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones. Who remembers that? A few, all right. Well, we sang it to the great old tune, Lasst uns freuen. Well, it's not in Voices United. I guess we don't watch and wait so easily anymore. Maybe we're not so holy anymore either. The digital age has duped us into insisting on instant gratification. So if Advent is intended to slow us down and counter the Christmas rush, encourage patient waiting, our prayer is most likely to be, Lord, give me patience, but give it to me now. So coming to church every Sunday for four consecutive weeks and being told to hurry up and wait can make you start to wonder why you come to church at all. We may like to watch, but we're not that good at waiting. And the other thing that turns people off of Advent, apart from the fact that liturgical purists won't let us sing Silent Night soon enough, is that Advent keeps rubbing our noses in all that's wrong with the world. We much prefer sweet little Jesus boy to this grown-up preacher from Nazareth telling us that the world is going to hell in a handcart. I mean, Christmas pageants with funny, adorable children tripping over their bathrobes is far more likely to put us in the mood for a holly jolly Christmas than preacher talk of people fainting with fear and foreboding at what is coming on the world. Man, oh man, after a year of one crisis after another, a year of floods and fire and hurricanes, and God help us, Donald Trump, and plant closings and worries about health, and God knows what. Couldn't we have a feel-good Christmas? See, Walter Brueggemann is right when he tells us that the world with its anger and its violence and greed and deceit, it can talk us out of hope. I don't know about you, but I want hope. I want the Eaton's catalog to come. I want to imagine a wonderful world. Well, that's why we need Advent. We need to learn to watch and wait. Yes, Advent has a way of making it hard for us to sleep in heavenly peace with its prophetic insistence that God wants us to think about the world the way God thinks about. Did you hear that? Imagine that. Here we've been thinking that God spends all God's time fussing and fretting about the church, and Advent wants to poke us in the ribs, wake us up, and urge us to do what God does, which is to pay attention to the world. And watch and wait for God's kingdom to come, make a difference in the world, a world that shouldn't be the way it is. Now, watching and waiting like that can make us both apprehensive and excited, threatened and absolutely thrilled, anxious and confident, ashamed and redeemed. See, what's at stake is not simply that Advent gets us ready for Christmas, but that we have at least a foggy notion that the coming we're making such a fuss about is the coming of God Almighty to a world sorely in need of a little divine notice, something that should make us sweat a little as well as smile, make us a bit nervous as well as tickled pink, incline us to tidy up our lives as well as trim the tree. At least if we're any good at interpreting the signs of the times, any good at watching. So watch the signs, says Jesus. But listen, not just the signs of how bad things are. Goodness knows they're hard to miss. How about watching for signs of God's extraordinary activity, often taking place in rather ordinary things? Okay, so the world should not be the way it is. We know that. Then what a gift, say, the world's oldest rebel, Harry Leslie Smith, has been to it. And what a legacy we can celebrate and participate in. You heard about it. Harry died this past week in Belleville at the age of 95. He protested the ugliness of the world, but was he ever a bright spot in it, all over the world? Yes, there's way too much violence. But here and there, teenagers are standing up and saying no to online bullies. And men are calling out other men so prone to sexism. And people are insisting that black lives do matter, that indigenous lives deserve better, that to be LGBTQ is to be a child of God. These are signs of hope, if you ask me. So watch for them too. There are gentle and generous, just and charitable, compassionate and truthful men and women throughout the world daring to be signs of better times because they are signs of a better way. So Advent invites us to watch for those signs too. Watch for them and by God's grace become ourselves signs of better times and a better way. You see, says Jesus, Advent people who read well the signs of the times live as a sign for the times, as a sign for the realm of God. Because Advent people do justly, love tenderly, walk humbly as signs of God's pending arrival in an age short on justice, starved for love, and prone to both arrogance and ignorance. Advent people are life signs, signs of abundant life in a world addicted to all that wants to be the death of us. Advent people are counter signs, signs of contradiction, signs of God's amazing grace, which just happens to be a shocking alternative to oppression and power-mongering and violence and meaningless and loneliness and despair. In a world that craves spiritual renewal and authenticity, Advent people actually have the nerve to pray. In a world that prefers opinion to truth, information to knowledge, wealth to wisdom, Advent people dare to unmask evil, vigorously protest and resist it through outrageous acts of goodness and kindness. And while others ask for more, Advent people have the courage to wait in hope and the courtesy and common sense to be both generous and thankful. While the world rushes to the mall, Advent people gather and light a candle and celebrate the one who came and comes and who will keep on coming, because the God for whom we wait is already here. Advent people help folks remember to hope and remember in order to hope. It's the odd agenda of Advent. It's the odd signage of the people of God. Shepherds did indeed watch their flocks by night. No, we'll get to that soon enough. And an old rugged cross was raised on a green hill far away, and people watched from a distance. We'll get to that too. There's a lot of watching in the Bible, a lot of watching in the world, a lot of watching in the church. And we can watch as passive, even indifferent spectators, or as active participant observers. Advent is a good time to make up our minds how we will watch. And yes, what's that line from an old prophet whose name practically nobody can pronounce and whose book hardly anybody can ever find in the Bible, much less read? Habakkuk. That's it. Habakkuk, weary of the way the world is and wondering if God has forgotten to be just, reports this: I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what God will say to me. And I don't know whether it surprised him or not, but he goes on to say that then the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. So watch for it. You'll see. You'll see. Whoever has ears to hear the word of the Lord.